MAN.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined here in studio today by USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Katrina Lewison joining us in studio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning.
Katrina, just getting in here last minute. Glad to have you here.
No problem.
We've got a meeting here tonight. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk a little bit about what's been going on here this past week. I know you had a lot of interviews with as you guys prepare for the bond project here going on.
It's been very exciting.
Yes, very busy week. Last week we did design service interviews with multiple architecture firms, looking at the different projects we have on the bond issue. And Monday night we had construction managers come in for interviews. So we should have final recommendations going for selection tonight that we can enter into contracts with those companies. So we're really excited. We got great teams on board.
What have you learned from this process here? Just because I know there's so many moving parts to getting this all set up and going.
I think as a board member, what I've recognized is that we are going to be in good hands no matter who we select. There are true professionals who really specialize in school projects throughout our local community and throughout the state. So I felt very good after interviewing the architects last week and after going through the construction manager documents for the interviews that we did last night. So I think that as we progress in this bond project, I think that our school district will be set up for success.
All right. You said 14 interviews last week. Is that right?
We did 14 different architect interviews. Yeah, wow. Because we broke it into five different projects, basically early learning, new elementary school, all the other elementary schools, middle school, and high school combined with the support services. So we kind of took proposals on each of those different projects because they each have a different flavor. But they also impact each other, too. So the teams we select still have to work across those lines as well, especially when it comes to timelines.
All right. Well, as far as tonight's meeting here, what's in store here tonight? I know, obviously, that whole process will kind of come to fruition tonight.
Yep, that should. I will say we got a lot of recognitions tonight. So we're pretty excited about a lot of these. We always love doing the special recognitions. So I'll just kind of read a few of them off. We're going to do our Martin Luther King Jr. proclamation. We had that set for last time, but we didn't. We have some public community people come and join us for that. They weren't able to make it last week, so we just postponed that off since we're still before the holiday, which is on Monday, with no school on Monday, by the way, if I don't get to that one. Got some other special recognitions. For some of our MHS coaches and athletes, Coach Schartz was the Centennial League Coach of the Year for football. Kevonte McDonald, the Offensive Player of the Year, and David Hernandez, the Defensive Player of the Year in the Centennial League. So we're proud of all them. Girls tennis, Coach Tony Ingram was the Centennial League Coach of the Year. And boys soccer, we had Caleb DeLaroche, was 6A first team All-State goalie. Hunter French, 6A first team All-State forward. Cole Herpich, first team All-State defender. And Max Landown, first team All-State forward. The one that was the most emotional and probably most important to everybody, the late Coach Frank Alonzo was also named Centennial League Coach of the Year and 6A Coach of the Year. And I know that meant a lot to the team and meant a lot to the boys, meant a lot to the families, and also the Alonzo family too. So they had a tough end of the year, but so much success, and we're grateful for all that.
Good to have that recognition.
Yeah. But we don't even stop there. I'm just going to keep going, Brandon. Keep flipping through my book. One of our teachers, Chloe Pyle, was named to the MedWiz Symposium for Leadership on Behavior Disorder Master Teacher Group. So we're really proud of Chloe. Great job there. Also, Julie Disbro achieved National Board Certification, which is a huge process. It takes forever, and they have to turn in so much information to show what they do in their classroom and the research base behind it. It's just not an easy hoop to jump through. It's multiple hoops to jump through to get that. So we're proud of Julie for doing that as well. And we're also recognizing the Applebot team tonight, their first USD 383 LEGO League team. The Applebots took first place in their Aeroponic Farming in Space. They were nominated for the Global Innovation Award. So we're proud of our Applebot team, too. We just keep adding. And then probably the last recognition we have is probably a short one, but an important one, too. We're going to formally put a plaque up in recognition of June Kermser. If people aren't aware of who June Kermser is, she was a longtime community resident, advocate for public education, but she's most known for as a community member. She attended every board meeting for multiple years. I want to say over 20 years that June came to pretty much every board meeting. We actually named the conference room that the board meets in the Kermser Conference Room, and some people will say, well, why is it named the Kermser Conference Room? Well, there's a story behind it, too. And so now we're going to have a plaque up on the side with the story of June Kermser and what she means to 383, and we're so appreciative to her. So we're going to put a recognition plaque up for June that's long overdue, and we're grateful we get to do it.
Oh, that's great. That's such a nice honor to do that for someone who's so involved. As far as the regular meeting here tonight, what else is on the agenda?
Oh, gosh. Normal stuff. I think the EMS, the Eisenhower Student Council, will be there to talk to us. We're going to look at the Career Tech Ed report. I've got final reports on contractors and architects. We're going to be looking at playground equipment at Marlatt. I know we're working on that. Parking surveys, something. Let me go over that a little bit, too. One of the points of the bond issue was parking. We identified parking issues at pretty much every building we had in the district. But I also posed the question, too, because our buildings were also overcrowded. Some of the buildings designed for 470 kids had 550 kids in, or close to 600 kids in. So one of the questions we came up with was, do we really have a parking issue, or do we just have an overcrowded issue that impacts our parking? So we're going to have a parking study that looks at our early learning, our elementary schools, and our middle schools to see what kind of parking spaces we need. And one reason we want to make sure we do that is because a lot of the parking plans that we'd have cut into playground space, and that's something we don't want to take lightly whatsoever. So if we need that for parking, we just want to make sure we have good, solid evidence to base our decisions on.
Which schools were coming up as the schools that had the biggest parking concerns?
Yep.
All of them.
Oh, all of them.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the slides in there, I want to say we have 21 facilities, and 20 of our 21 facilities recognize having parking issues.
Hmm. And that also is a safety issue, because when we have a lack of parking spaces, that means that at times there's family members or definitely the kids that are crossing the street at unsafe points. So we have to take a look at that across the board.
What about increasing walkability around the schools? Is that part of this maybe?
That's not part of it. We're partners with the city for safe routes to school. We really can't go off property to improve those things. We can do things on our property to make sure. And most of our sidewalks are accessible and we have a walking route. But yeah, we don't get to venture off and improve other things.
Okay, well, it'd be interesting to see what comes of that.
Yeah, we do partner with the city to do that, and they've been great partners trying to push projects together that increase walkability to the schools. And there's grant sources for that they've been working on.
As far as the Career and Technical Education Annual Report, what you could tell us here that you've found so far, and that has it been a good report, you think?
Well, I think the biggest thing for the CTE report, and I don't know if Katrina's had a chance to read that yet, is how many different CTE programs we have in Pathways.
I think that as we have dug into the CTE, the current technical education, what I think that the community needs to know is how many options we provide for the students. And that's a program that is growing, and it's a real opportunity for our kids to dig in and get education specific to their interest.
No doubt. There's so many options, for kids, maybe are thinking about, college, and maybe they're not thinking about college or technical education. Those are good paying jobs after school.
Yeah. And I think the other thing our CTE report does is also highlight our partnership with MATC. And we just keep expanding more and more opportunities, either concurrent or being able to transfer cleanly to MATC to finish those programs quickly or even possibly finish those programs while they're still in high school. It just seems like those opportunities just keep expanding, and that's what we want. We want options for kids, and we also want to benefit them for their future and what they want to do.
Very good. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more in focus. USD 383 being highlighted here this morning. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain.